The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears! Go Bears!
We should just play that back to back to back, Coach, because the goal is we're going to play that after every victory.
Three dubs.
Since we talked, you guys have had three victories.
Three dubs.
8-1, Coach.
8-1.
Now, I asked you before we started here, like, where is that in terms of the best start for the UNC Bears? It's got to be up there.
I'm not the historian, but I do look at the stuff, just the Division I era. And, you know, the cheat sheet is this thing called KenPom.com. Now, KenPom is a analytics site that everybody uses in our world, and but they go back to every year, and you can see the records really quickly or whatever it is. So I do think we are tied for the best start in school history. Coach Boyle had an 8-0 start, which we did not. They got beat to go to 8-1, I believe. And now that we're 8-1, I think we are now tied for the best start in school history because of that. And I'll have to check with our SID department, but I think they eventually went to 8-2. So I don't know for sure, but I think it's at least up for discussion until we look at our stats a little deeper to say that we're definitely chasing the best start. And I think we're tied for the best start right now,
So potentially the South Dakota game could be kind of historic, right?
I think so, yeah. And I'm going to go with our people later today. We've been on the road, you know, left Tuesday morning for Omaha, got back Thursday afternoon. You know, the travel, what people understand at the different levels of Division I is that, you know, we're charter – let me rewind that. We are not charter flights. We are commercial flights. So what you do is you fly out the day before and, you know, you practice that day and then you play the day of the game. Unless you have like an early afternoon game, which is especially during the week that never happens, 7 p.m. game, you don't fly out till the next morning. So then you fly out, you know, and get through security and fly and get to DIA and the bus picks you up. And so, you know, even with the morning flight, which was good for us, we didn't get back to Greeley till 2 o'clock yesterday. So like from a workflow perspective, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're out. And so I'm a little behind on some of that stuff, but I do think it's within the conversation.
Well, you took care of business against Omaha, and I want to get to that with you because now that was a weird situation because I wasn't able to watch that game.
Midco Sports Plus. Now, for those that have no idea what I'm talking about, that is the Summit League's streaming provider. And it's disappointing for all – I'm sure that all the Summit League fans and parents, they all have that deal. But the situation is that it costs. It's not free. And so whether you know, most people have ESPN Plus, and so, you know, you see hundreds of games. And then, like, you think about, like, Mountain West Network, it's its own deal, but it's free. So the Midco thing is it's its own deal, but it charges. So a lot of people, you know, were hitting us up, hey, why is it not on ESPN Plus? Because it's on the Midco Sports Network. So well,
and
it is
Coach,
what it is.
You know me enough now. I'm a little slow when it comes to the technology. So I'm on ESPN Plus for, like, 30 minutes. Like, where is the Bear logo? Where is – oh, there's a Bear. Oh, that's an old game.
No,
that's not right. And I'm going to live. Couldn't find it. So tried to click on – I went to their site or what they were promoting. Yep. And I thought it was messed up on my phone. I tried it on the iPad.
You were searching for something that did not exist.
Yeah. Couldn't get there. So I'm doing the whole Gamecast thing, watching this.
Fun,
like, oh, this is back and forth. I don't know who's doing what. I do, but, you know, it's slow.
It's
and so I'm not able to kind of – get into it, but I do know it was a tight game, and I want to get to that.
Great game.
Three games to talk about. You guys beat Air Force last Wednesday. You took care of Regis without Mr. Brock Wisney, too, apparently.
Yep.
Who had some food poisoning, food poisoning situation. And then, of course, Omaha. Now South Dakota. Before, I want to get into some big – we like to talk big picture stuff, too, like national stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But the South Dakota game, that will be on ESPN Plus, right?
Yeah, yeah, because it's at our place.
Because it's your place. Okay, just wanted to make sure. So people will be able to check that out. But, man, are you following – like you and I love to pick your brain as a Division I coach, not just about basketball – but about the national scene, too. And one of the biggest stories, if not the biggest story surrounding sports, is the Lane Kiffin stuff.
You know, it's hard to pick sides. It's fascinating is a good word. Is it his fault? Is it Ole Miss's fault? Who's to blame? Is it LSU's fault? I think, you know, and I think Kirby Smart came out and said it's really unfortunate the way that it's created the timing of everything. Because what happens is, you know, the one school, LSU, needs a coach.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best programs and jobs in the country. And so, you know, they're chasing around. And the way that this has worked with the portal and all this stuff is that you need to have a coach in place to hold on to recruits and to sign recruits immediately. Now, the portal, I think, is open. It's soon.
For football, it's like January 2nd it officially opens.
Right, yeah, January. So it's like, okay, so January 2nd. So it's like, okay, LSU needs a coach in place. We are now in early to middle December because they need structure and staff so that when that portal opens, and obviously like we can see, even see like with the Bears, guys are there declaring for the portal.
Right.
So it's even though it opens January 2nd, you know, the market is creating itself right now, right? Who's going in the portal? Who's staying all over the place? So you need a coach and a staff and a structure so that when the portal hits, you can sign these guys. Because once they're signed, there is no like, you know, plan A is much better than plan B, C, D, E, F. You can't just wait till, you know, a season is over. And what I mean by that is Ole Miss is good. Ole Miss, hey, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they could win a national championship. So this is where the problem lies is that Lane Kiffin, it sounded like he came out saying, I want to stay and coach this through, but I am going to LSU. Bam, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, LSU saying, hey, look, you got to go, man. You got to get here. Or you got to declare you're going to be here. You got to work for us. And then Ole Miss is saying, well, if you're going to be with them, you can't be with us. And Lane Kiffin saying, I'm going to LSU, but I want to coach the playoffs. There's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the next problem. Okay, Ole Miss draws the line and says, no, you're not coaching the playoffs. Okay, I'm going to LSU. What about the staff? Now, the trickle-down effect, Kiffin wants to hold under a lot of staff, saying, hey, you have to be on the plane with me to go to LSU,
yeah.
Or you don't have a
go
job.
Right now, yeah.
Now, the Ole Miss structure, it's never about just the head coach. You know, if a lightning bolt hits me, we're going to be okay. I got a great staff, right? But when you start losing your staff too, then it's like, what are we doing? And you're mm-hmm. Ole Miss, and you have this amazing team that could win a national championship. I just feel bad for the kids, man.
Yeah.
But I don't blame either side. I understand it.
I don't either.
It's the structure.
It's the structure because if I'm LSU 100%, I'm like,
no doubt.
You need to crap or get off the pot. Like, I need to know, are you here? And then once you say you're here, get here because I need you.
Yeah, because LSU fired Brian Kelly. This is one of the premier jobs in the country. If not, you know, it's top five, top two, maybe the best job in the country. We aren't taking second place. We are bad right now. We need to get better. We need you here now because mm-hmm. we're running this, you know, like a national championship thing. We can't wait for your season. We need you now.
Yeah.
I just think so much of it's structure. It's just structure. Well, it's unfortunate.
It seems
– it's unfortunate for Ole Miss.
It seems simple enough. I heard Texas Tech's head football coach talk about this.
Mm.
Moving back the football season 1 week – so 0 week is essentially week
sure.
one. So everybody plays. Here's what drives me nuts is we've got the conference championship games this weekend.
Right.
And then the playoffs don't start next week. They start the week after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah.
So move the season back 1 week in right. the regular season. Start the playoffs immediately after the conference championship weekend.
Right.
And then you got John Gruden basically saying all these teams that are on the outs that aren't playing in a conference championship game but are in the playoffs – should have a mini play-in, basically. So Ole Miss should play Miami.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by some of that because he's thinking – he was throwing out like Tulane should play somebody. And I'm like, well, Tulane's playing in their conference championship,
right.
So what do you do there? But the whole thing is just jacked up because if I'm Ole Miss too, I'm not crazy about having Lane Kiffin there once he's committed to LSU.
No, it's awkward.
Or he's sending his offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., back to Ole Miss. But now Ole Miss is saying, no, that was always the plan.
Right.
Lane's making it sound like he called the committee and said, don't move them out of the rankings because I'm sending my OC back.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss is saying, no, that was always part of the plan. And now you might have another lawsuit going on where Ole Miss is claiming that Lane Kiffin was using resources, school resources, for trips to go to LSU or to go to Baton Rouge.
That's not good.
So the whole thing is just absolutely wild. And the reason, like, you were an athletic director at one point.
Yes.
And I love your story. It's so fascinating to me. What would you do if you were Ole Miss and LSU did happen to say, we'll let him coach the playoffs? Would you allow that to happen?
Well, first of all, it's such a messy divorce. Now it's just turning into
now it's getting bad.
That's a good question. I mean, first thing, if you're Ole Miss and you're the AD at Ole Miss, you ride for Ole Miss and you do whatever you can to protect your program. And do you keep him there? Do you allow him to coach? Is that that's a question?
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
Unless the players are like, no.
Well, and apparently the players are.
So, the players are involved.
Well, Lane was saying right. The players were, like in the team meeting, everybody wanted him to stay.
But then all the players.
And now players are retweeting and quoting him and then saying, yeah, that's not what happened in that meeting. So yeah, you would go with the players on that.
You would probably bring the players because the coach already gone and say, you know, say, hey, look, we've had this historic season. We have a chance to win a national championship, which in Oxford, Mississippi, right? Like, it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And feelings are feelings. But he wants to stay and coach. Do we feel like that gives us the best chance to win a national championship this year, right? And then it's going to be a problem after season no matter what. And just listen to what the players say, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the move.
When it sounds like that move would have been, at least according to players, like, hey, we didn't want him here. We were like, get on out if you're out.
If the player's like, nah, if you're out, you're out. Then he's okay, like, let's do what we got to do. So it's sticky, man.
What a wild story.
But so much of it is structure. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if there might be some little tweaks to the timing and scheduling of 0 weeks, portals, just a little bit, because this is the first one that's gotten this messy, but it won't be the last unless change is made.
Well, and you've got a lot, like Tulane, for example, their coach, he's going to take the job, the Florida job.
Yeah.
But because they're not the same conference.
Yeah,
not the
same
they're level. All good with each other, so he's going to finish.
Yeah, people understand, like, okay, hey, look, you know, Tulane's had this historic season, different deal. But when you're talking about in the league, man, it's hard.
Oh, it's
hard.
It's really fascinating just to kind of see how this will ultimately play out.
What a phenomenal change in Lane Kiffin's career, right? Like, it was rocking, Then, I mean, he was fired on the tarmac.
Yeah.
Was that USC?
Yeah.
And now he's like the hottest coach in America.
Yeah.
It's amazing how stuff turns.
Then he goes to Ole Miss and he's like, you know,
he did a great job.
He did an amazing job. Yeah. And
hard job, Ole Miss.
He's kind of like, I've changed, you know, my mentality's different. And he seemed kind of like he was almost spiritual and
he was
deeper.
Tweeting some stuff out.
He was like, I talked to God and all this stuff. And then he goes to LSU and it's almost kind of like, you know what? Screw it. I'm bad again. You know, I'm ready to be college football's bad boy. And let me just say this, coach, for me, this is amazing because it is stuff to talk about
for
days.
Yeah, for sure. So I agree. In college football, because of the pause before the playoff, you need some content. This is good content for the college football fan for sure.
Oh, it's so much fun. And then just another side note too. How about that volleyball team? You know, they end up losing, but they won the Big Sky.
Night.
Okay, so yeah,
not in Omaha. I was back home. But yeah, you know, shout out to the volleyball team. Here's what's crazy. I went to the watch party on Sunday when they got announced. And, you know, they were kind of projecting they'd probably play like Stanford or BYU or something like that. So then, boom, they get hit with Creighton. And then it's like, wait, when's the first? It's Thursday. We played Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So they were at our game Wednesday night.
Wow.
We had a great crowd there. Like Baxter Arena in Omaha is phenomenal. They don't get crazy crowds. Now, they've won 13 in a row before we beat them. But we had a couple of our donors, our top donors came out in some planes, which was cool. And then volleyball, they practiced at 6 at Creighton, and then we played at 7. They like shout out to Coach Oates and the volleyball team. They were there and they were cheering that.
That's awesome.
And then we were at my son's game. My daughter was watching on the phone. We're down 1-0 in terms of volleyball, right? Creighton was 16-0 in the Big East. So it's like, this is going to be rough.
Yeah.
We're down. Next thing you know, I'm driving home after the game with my son. My mom calls like, we're up 2-1 in volleyball. I'm like, wait, what? We're up 2-1. So we got home. We lost the fourth, and we sat down. We watched the fifth. We got beat, but like, what a great turn. I mean, and it just shows, too, like, you know, it's probably one of Coach Oates' best coaching jobs. We started the year, whatever the record was, but it was substantially losing.
Yeah.
Now, we were playing great teams on the road. It was a really hard schedule. But to keep those kids going, right, just stay the course. And next thing you know, you win the championship and got Creighton on the ropes, right? So it was a great year for Coach Oates on the volleyball team.
Phenomenal group. And I know you're already paying close attention to this volleyball team, but you'll be paying extra close here in a couple of years, with your daughter going to UNC.
Absolutely, yeah. No, she was pumped. And you know, seeing that atmosphere on the screens at Creighton, packed gym, really cool. And our team had them on the ropes down 2-1.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. And it's great to see what's going on, too, on the basketball side for you guys. 8-1. The one loss you guys had was that tight game.
Yeah.
You know, the one-point game against St. Thomas. But, this is an amazing start. And like we talked about, we think anyway, this Saturday has some historic meaning behind it. But let's talk about the last three games for you guys. You go up against Air Force, and it just seems like you have had their number for the last couple of years. But in the sense of, like, 2 years ago, we've discussed it, like, that Air Force win was almost something that changed a mindset for you guys, it seemed like. Because once you beat Air Force, bam, you went on to win a lot of basketball games. And then last year, the Air Force game almost solidified you guys more, like, this is going to be a really good season. This year, it was more like, we're handling business against this Air Force team. Yeah. It was a close game at first, but you guys did
really
well
close.
In the second half.
It was an extremely close game at halftime. 28-24, you know, low-scoring game, which is normal because they play slow. They had won three in a row going into the game. They were playing well. And it's hard. It's hard to win it, you know, at a Mountain West school. It's the second highest elevation in the country, over 7,000 feet. It's a totally different style. We had just played Fullerton, who's one of the fastest teams. Now you play Air Force, who's one of the slowest teams in America. And so much of what you got to do is you got to understand the system. You got to understand the personnel. Our guys did a great job of that. And I thought we eliminated the system and the screening and all that kind of stuff. And we eliminated their sniper threes. So then, and where they were hurting us is going inside with Selahowski and number 10, Caleb, I think it's Caleb Wilson, good player. And, you know, it's 28-26. We finally kind of settled in and started playing better and you know, found some separation. But I thought the second half at Air Force was one of the best halves we played all year. Tough, gritty, got the stops we needed, played with a lot of confidence, a lot of joy, played fast. It was really fun, and I was really proud of the guys. It's a great win. You know, we got it up to almost 20 at the end of the game, and that's a big deal.
Well, and Air Force, they like to slow you down.
Yeah.
We talked about that, I think, last week. And they don't always light the scoreboard on fire, but still, to hold any team to 53 points, I mean, you got to be happy defensively.
Yeah, and you start looking at, like, you know, the stats and the analytics and the winning, losing, the stuff that we do internally, like, it really checked out well. We checked out really well in that game. You know, our rebound effort, our limited scout mistakes, which it's getting better and better and better. Our shot quality, the stuff that we kind of put into our formula. Man, I felt really, really good about that stuff. And when you do the stuff right, again, it's the process, not the product. If you just worry about the winning and losing the scoreboard, you can get lost in the sauce. But the process is what we're trying to do on every possession on both ends of the court. And it checked out really well, and lo and behold, the scoreboard turned out good for us.
So you get that dub. That moves you guys to 6-1.
Yep.
And then you have Regis coming to town over the weekend.
Yeah.
You go into this game. Now, Regis, they only had six guys playing. Brock Wisney, though, had some food poisoning on in this game. So he wasn't playing. He talked to us earlier on Monday, said he was going to try to give it a shot, but he wasn't feeling. Food poisoning is just nasty.
He tried to move around a little bit. He couldn't even get through he didn't even dress out for for our game day shoot around. But, you know, Regis, head coach Rex Walters, famous basketball coach and player, Kansas Jayhawks, leading scorer on their Final Four team, 8-year pro, most of that in the NBA. Like, Rex Walters is a real dude. Rex Walters, small world, San Fran head coach, USF head coach. Jeff Linder worked for him. Mm-hmm. Sundance Wicks worked for him. Luke Wicks worked for him. Great coach and had a good run in that WCC. Eventually gets let go. Didn't get out of coaching, but goes professional for a while. He was coaching high school last year, and out of nowhere, he decided to take the Regis job. I was surprised. But this is a really, really, really high-level coach. And he hit me on the way to the Springs. I saw him put a tweet out that said, "Hey, so proud of the team. Won our first game with four guys." I was like, four guys? And if two guys fouled, that's six guys.
No
guys
kidding.
Out.
I did not know that.
So they beat UT Dallas with four guys at the end of the game. And he hit me up. He called me. He's like, "Hey, Smiley, look, man, we're pretty close." Said, "My AD wants to cancel the game."
Mm.
He said, "What?" He said, "We got six guys." He goes, "We're not doing that. We're playing the game." I said, "Good, because we have to play this game, coach." I said, "Now, what do you mean you have six guys?" He goes, "I got two torn ACLs. I got a dislocated shoulder. It's all injuries." Regis went to the national tournament last year. And this is a legitimate Division II RMAC team that when we schedule, I'm like, you know? And so this is not, you know, a ragtag operation. This is a legitimate operation with a legitimate coach, but they're just decimated with injuries. So six guys watching them. It was pretty clear that, you know, if we did our thing, we would be fine. What a great game for us, though, because we were able to play everyone that was able to play. And guys like, you know, Humor, who had 11 rebounds. Burkita, 14 points. I think Chance White had 12 points. Walker Asp, Hunter Caldwell. Got a chance to play all these guys that are good players that need minutes that we haven't had a chance to play much recently. Arik Nguyen had his career high.
Yeah.
So that if you approach that the right way, you can get so much out of that. And I thought our guys did a great job of that. So, yeah, played it well. We're up huge at halftime. Able to rest our starters. Brock didn't play. But we got a lot out of that. That was a big game for us.
So in that conversation with the coach, he's, you know, talking about his athletic director saying, you know, we want to cancel the game. So what was that conversation like?
He's like, no, we can't do it.
Can't do it. We got to play.
And Rex, like, Rex is the ultimate competitor. He does not matter. He's like, we are playing you guys. Don't worry. We're going to play you. I'm just telling you, we got six guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understand. I was like, don't get anybody here before the game. He's like, no, it's all, you know, skill and install right now. Like, we'll have six, maybe seven. And they did not get their seventh guy back. But no, and credit to those guys. Like, they played really hard. And it's like we told our guys, it's six good players. This is, but there's only six of them. So we got to wear them out. And we did right away. And we got up big at halftime.
Yeah, 59 to 19.
19 and a half. Yeah.
I was pretty confident you guys were going to pull away with win at that point.
No doubt. But, you know, I thought we did a good job. And a lot of their post players are hurt, so they're small. It's a tough hop for those guys. They need some guys to get back healthy quick.
You're a competitive guy. You don't get into this profession if you're not competitive. Was there a part of you in that game, though, that, like, kind of felt bad?
No.
Or, no, it's just like we got to be a killer instinct here.
But it's more so being mature about it. And I've seen some coaches that, like, keep their studs in the whole game and, like, jack their stats up. We are not going to do that.
Yeah.
I think Danker played, like, 12 minutes. Brock played 0 minutes. Zach played 12 minutes. And that was the goal. The goal was start the game, play a little bit more in the first half, start the second half, shut it down.
Yeah.
Like, one thing you never want to do is embarrass the game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so now you got guys like, you know, Tanner getting 20 minutes or whatever it is, and they need those minutes.
That's a real shot to watch those players.
Yeah, and it couldn't have come timing-wise at a better point in time, because you start to lose hope and lose hope and lose hope. Boom, now you got a game that's like, hey, you have a great chance to play.
If this would have been rewind, fast forward kind of, if this would have been South Dakota, do you think Brock have tried a little harder?
He
just flat out.
No,
couldn't.
He tried, man. He tried.
Food poisoning is crippling. It is just a nasty thing.
He tried
thing.
The day before. He tried the practice of, like, he was in the bathroom a lot. He just couldn't do it. And he was mad and somewhat, you know, dejected and embarrassed. He couldn't play. And Brock, like, no one will ever question your toughness.
Well, he hasn't missed has he ever missed a game?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah. So I just, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
What happened to this guy?
Yeah, he did a great job of handling it. He didn't like it, though.
Then you guys have to start the Big Sky Summit Challenge. We talked a little bit about that, but you end up winning that game 75-70.
Oh, it was a big game.
Omaha at home, though, you said won 13 in a row?
13 in a row.
So knowing that
was going to be one of the longest win streaks in the country. That's a huge win for us, like a critical win. And, you know, I thought, man, I think they're really good now. The record, and it's like even people have, you know, and I'm telling you, they got beat by CSU. They got beat by LSU. They got beat by Murray State, who's loaded. They've beat everyone they're supposed to beat. They went to this FIU tournament. James Madison, higher level. FIU, at FIU. They are legitimately good. I'm telling you, they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to be a force in the Summit League. So I think our guys did a good job understanding, like, do not look at their record. Look at the fact they won 13 in a row. These guys are good, man. And, you know, they have some kryptonite for us, some of those bigger physical guards that can post you up and kind of wing type guys. The type of guy like a Langston Reynolds could guard, we don't have as much of that. Now, we're learning it. A guy like Ring can guard those guys with his length, right? But they did a good job of just knowing how to attack. So I thought their offensive attack was as good of any team I've seen in this country that we played against. Preparing for, like, man, these guys run good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They put you in binds. They remind us a lot of us in terms of all the movement and ball screens and, oh, now we're going to post you up. We're going to screen you. I love how they play. Defensively, they're like, Montana, this is what we do. There's no gimmicks. Let's just see if you can score on us. And I really respect it. And I thought they were really good, really good.
Well, it was tight. Like, that's, oh, I mean, it was tight all the way through.
Yeah, it's 72-69. Somehow they got a foul or something. They make one free throw. They miss a second. 38 seconds left. They elect not to foul. We didn't call a timeout. So Quinn brings it down. We just put Zach on the nail on the free throw line. And it's like, okay, we're up to – this is where situations come in. They're showing their hand. We're not fouling you. We're going to get a stop and go win the game. we're showing our hand. We're not calling a timeout. We're going to bleed this clock down, get a shot, make or miss, and see if we can get a stop. It's 72-70. What a great inning. And we drain the clock down and some stuff that we do. Quinn made a great read, rejecting kind of a flat ball screen from Zach and got the downhill pressure. And because of the downhill pressure, Ibu's guy, he was flat in the right corner. This clip's online. There's some video of it. But Ibu's guy ran off Ibu, and Quinn made the right read. I'm so proud of Quinn because he could have easily taken a shot. He's made a ton of game winners. It's our leading scorer. But do what the defense presents you. Like LeBron last night could have scored for 10 points. No, throw it to Rui. So the defense rallied to Quinn. He threw it to Ibu, and Ibu bangs a shot. A three in a corner to go up five with 7, 8, 9 seconds left. Game over. I mean, awesome end. It was an awesome end.
And I like around the 4-minute mark. And again, not being able to watch this, I'm just doing the game cast. So I want to get your. I want you to help us describe kind of what went down. They get the lead to go up 60-59 at a pretty crucial time. We're at the 4-minute mark now. This is a game that could go anywhere at this point, but. Take us through what happened there right when Omaha – well, I guess they kind of had the lead. It was back and forth for a while, but then they get to 60-59.
Yeah.
And we know that Ibu Yamazaki makes a critical three-pointer, but that was some interesting stuff going on before that play.
I remember that vividly. So 60-59, our ball, drive down. I think Vince drove down. Ball kind of squirted out of bounds. They said it's our ball. Their players are doing a challenge thing, right? We all get one challenge. Their coaches, and we have these iPads, our coaches like, challenge it. And so they challenged it, 4:06. So you get to the 4-minute media, you get to the timeout. So we're down one, they're challenging. So we get kind of a fake timeout, we get together, whatever it is. And it's like, okay, we were going OD sub, Vincent Ring. Vince was playing so well offensively, Ring is so critical defensively. So it was like, all right, if it's still our ball, Vince stays in, here's what we're doing. If it's not our ball, Ring will check in, we got to get a stop. So the challenge won, they won the challenge. So now it's their ball, we're down one. It's really tight. And so Ring checks in. Okay. We have a soft kind of full court press on, and their player who gets the ball from the ref runs the baseline. Violation. Yep. So the ref lets him go two or three steps, blows the whistle. The kid looks at him like, well, what's the deal? It's a violation. It's a dead ball throwing. Can't run. Critical, right? We already watched that as our team. Like we have to learn these things. And so now instead of them having the ball, right? We have the ball. We have the, you know, the baseline out of bounds play that we were going to call anyways. So we run it. It's on the baseline. Ibu bangs a three. Now we're up two. And we have the right defensive lineup in. And that was critical. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Ibu's three, that was on a baseline out of bounds after they had a full court violation.
Ibu has been – this is a guy that you talked so highly of. Yeah. And in the offseason, we were talking about when he was going to get – when he was actually going to join the Bears, right. And I love that story, too, of when he joined you guys.
Yes.
Do you just get the sense, and I was talking about this yesterday on the whole show, Coach, with Ibu, like, I get the sense that we ain't seen nothing yet with this guy, that he's started, as he's getting more comfortable with you guys, because we knew your big three, they were going to cook, and it was just a matter of who those other dudes were that were going to go along with him. Do you really get that sense that Ibu might be taking that step forward?
Well, it's a weird, you know, like, it's a straight line. We got 8 guys, and the reason I'm so excited about the team is not necessarily the 8-1 start. It's where our ceiling could go. And what I mean is, you got these 3 guys that are they're on calculus, trigonometry, whatever the highest level stuff is in terms of how we want to play. And that's Quinn, Zach, Brooke. Well, they've been here for a while. Ibu now is above that line too because he's so old and mature. He's a senior. He's been through the wars in college. He's extremely smart. He's extremely detailed. And even before we get to film, he's already downloaded the film. I can see it on our little WeTransfer link. He's downloaded and watched the whole film. He is a vet. He is a pro. So you got these 4 old guys that are really really limiting mistakes. Now in our top 8, Ring, Vince, Arik, Egan. I still consider Egan young. He's still only a sophomore in the court. So 4 younger guys that are rapidly and quickly growing, but every game it's like 1 or 2 of those guys play really well. 1 of those 2 of those guys take a step back with some inexperience, then they play well, right? Like, okay, this game, Vince, awesome. Ring was really good. He didn't really do much offensively, which is perfectly fine, but Vince was great. Well, then you go back to the last game, Regis, Arik was great. Then you go back to Portland, Egan Shields is unbelievable, right? So it's like sometimes Vince, sometimes Reek, sometimes Ring, sometimes Egan. But as those guys, as we stay with them and they get through and they get more and more experience, that's where our ceiling is going to go through the roof, because none of them are playing consistently their best basketball. They're playing good and they're helping us win games. But they are still young in the game. You know, Vince, he's a sophomore. Ring is a sophomore. Arika's a freshman. Egan's a sophomore. We got four of our top eight guys are sophomores or younger. So they just need minutes. They need experience. They just need to go through the wars, and they're doing that. And that's why I'm so excited that, hey, it's early December. What do we look like in February? You know? And so, but with Ibu, go back to Ibu, he is a senior. He is national team experience with Team Japan. He has played at the highest levels. And so it doesn't surprise me that his learning curve is sped up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's extremely smart. He's doing a great job. But he's very confident. Like, he's a guy, you can give him a hug. You can coach him hard if you need to. And he responds. And, you know, I was on him pretty early in the game. A couple times I thought he could have rebounded better. And he just, yep, he looks, he gets a little grin, a little smile. He's crazy, man. I love him. He's just a crazy dude. And he's like the silent assassin, right? He's just so polite. But, like, that, there's a big killer in there. And when he hit that three, he was not surprised at all.
Wow.
Like, he believes, and that just he's done a great job. What a great addition!
Oh, I'm pumped. I'm pumped to see what you guys can do. And again, this 8-1 start, and with the only loss being a 1-point game, it's crazy.
And I talked to the St. Thomas head coach Johnny Tower in the airport. They were going to play Montana State. We're going to play Omaha. So we're kind of exchanging some notes. I really like Coach Tower. He's one of the best coaches in America. I think he's awesome. And he's like, man, he's smiling. He's like, dude, he's like, you dudes are 85 in the net. He's like, and the only loss is a fluke to us. He's like, you guys beat us.
Mm.
And I agree that we did beat him, but at the same point, we could have lost to Pepperdine. That went to overtime. We could have lost to Portland. That went to overtime. We could have lost to these guys. It went down to the last possession, right? So, like, you look at it like we're playing with fire, but it's because these are hard road games. We're 4-0 against legitimate Division I teams on the road at leagues considered the same as us or better than us. And that's what's, like, we got a tough team. You can't win road games if you don't have a tough team, and we've been doing it over and over. Our game against South Dakota Saturday is our first divisional home game of the year.
Yeah.
That's why I'm excited.
I'm pumped for this one. But
and it's going to be hard. This will be a challenge.
Does that give you nightmares, though? You could be 9-0 if it wasn't for a half-court buzzer beater.
but I think, you know, it's like, you know, you win some, you lose some. But at the same point in time, it's like, it does matter, because these games, if for some reason we can stay hot, if we can make a run in the Big Sky, if we can win the Big Sky, the better you do in the non-con solidifies where your fate is, you know, in terms of seeding and things like that.
It does. Yeah, they do matter.
Having an 85 net ranking at that time, if that ended like that, like, you're talking like a real seed. Now, it's crazy. The way the net goes, we win at Omaha, but their net's not very good right now. We win at Omaha the first time they've lost in almost 2 years, right? And our net dropped 20 spots. But that's what it is, because it just factors in strengths of schedules and this and that, and it's a very complicated thing. So you can't get lost in that. You just got to handle the game in front of you. But winning these games doesn't matter. It clearly matters. It's critical. And for our guys, like, they can feel it. Like, okay, now we're ranked in all these mid-major polls, and does it matter? People say no. Yes, it does matter. It matters to me, because it's like, I want to promote the program. I want people to believe that, hey, we always talk about, we're going to run a champagne program on a beer budget, and that's what it is. But if you're going to have a champagne program, you need to have some signs of success. It excites fans. It excites recruits. It excites donors, right? It excites people on campus. So, yeah, I want to win. Like, that's why we're playing the games.
This is – and again, these wins, you talk about promoting the program. Coach, we have a good relationship with administration at UNC, so we get tickets to give away. Let me tell you, the last few tickets, and even going into the future, I've been able to give away, because we'll have people that will call us and say, hey, we would love to go to the game.
Oh, nice.
And sometimes these are clients, sometimes they're listeners, and, you know, we're like, you know what, rather than do a fun giveaway on the station, if we're getting listeners that are like, we desperately want to go, we're going to hook them up, you know,
cool.
We're going to do that. So, like, I've only had a few opportunities to give these tickets away. People are calling and just asking if we have them before we can even get to it. So I love to see that excitement. In this South Dakota game, we've had several.
You know,
those
and
calls
here's the thing. So we haven't even had a Division I home game yet, but we've had I think we've had a 1,200, a 1,500, a 1,200 in terms of attendance. The arena holds about 2,900, okay? And most of those games were when the students weren't on campus or whatever it was. Now, we're hoping to get a good student turnout. Again, it's a Saturday game. A lot of students on our campus go home for the weekend. I get it. But it's the last weekend before finals week. So we're hoping kids are staying, you know, hunkered down and studying for finals. And now they're here on campus. So we're hoping to get a good student turnout. But the excitement in terms of, like, season tickets, we're like, we got over 500 season tickets, which hadn't happened in the last, like, the last 4 or 5 years. You know, Kitsman would know the full thing. But there is an excitement. And I think winning does fuel that.
Yeah.
But there's an excitement about what's going on. I'm excited to see. Hopefully we get a good crowd on Saturday. You know, finally got a Division I team coming in here. And it's going to be a battle, man. Like, these guys are good.
Well, talk to me a little bit about South Dakota and what kind of sticks out to you.
Psychotic. Psychotic.
Just defensively, just all over the place.
Hey, they are going to press us every possession, make or miss. So on a make, they're going to push up and guard the ball. Like, well, how do you press a miss? It's very easy. But it's a bench purge. Shot goes up. They crash their whole team on the glass. So they all go in there and try to rebound. Then what they do, though, is if you get the rebound, it's called tagged up. And some teams are starting to morph into this tag up system. But when you shoot offensively and everyone crashes and tags up with somebody, okay, if they miss and we get the rebound, they're jamming the break, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
The downside to it is there's no one sprinting back to really protect the rim. So if you can get rebounds, and last year we were number two in the country in getting defensive rebounds, and we're starting to surge now. We're like, I don't know what we are, but it's not good enough, but it's fine. But if we can get rebounds, okay, and handle that first jam, there's a lot of money on that other end in terms of just quick, fast breaks. And they're going to give up some easy layups. They're okay with that because what they're trying to do, my phrase is dictate the terms. They're trying to dictate the terms saying, we're going to press you every possession.
Yeah,
we'll give up a couple here and there, but we're going to wear you down. And so it's a game that theoretically should be played with a crazy pace, which we're perfectly fine with. I love to play fast. It's a game that should be high scoring. We just got to do what we do at a high level, but got good players. Isaac Bruns is one of the best players in the Summit League, first team all Summit League guy. Good guards, good big guy, and it's a quick turn. And so our guys got to learn this stuff. And now yesterday we got back, we did our film work. We didn't do anything on the court after that grueling, you know, travel and game, but we did our film work so that today, it's a Friday, so today we can have a good, you know, down the court practice, feel a little bit, get used to it, and then Saturday we go for it.
Okay, so a couple things stick out to me when we're talking, hearing you talk about South Dakota. I'm thinking this has got to be a huge game for Brock Wisney. Being able to get, you're great at getting those boards, but if they're going to be
Egan,
crashing,
Ring,
yeah.
Brock Egan Ring, we need Ibu, we need our guys, we need our guys to be dialed in. But then too, it's like we really challenge our guards.
Sure,
Quinn, Zach, you should be the best rebounders, right? Because most of the time the guard gets back. Well, tonight you're gonna have to check, and we call it check and confront. This is gonna be a check. It's not a check and chase tonight or tomorrow night. It's a check and confront. Like, you're going to have to hit some guys.
And both of those guards can board on a regular basis.
Oh, absolutely.
But also the ball handling, too. And I think this is where especially Quinn Danker is going to be.
Yeah.
The guy is, we've always talked about him just being stable.
Yep.
And he doesn't have a lot of those just one-on-one turnovers.
Yep.
So this will be a big one for him, too.
Well, that and then, you know, kind of solving what we want to do on their presses. And they'll mix up what the press is. But, you know, solving their press, the three-guard lineup with Quinn, Zach, and Vince has been really good. You know, a guy like Arik, like he didn't play a lot. He only played a couple minutes in Omaha, but he's going to play. He'll play. And it might be more of a fast, loosey-goosey game. But I still like our big lineup. I think our big lineup can really punish the other team if we can play at that pace and if we can, you know, get through actions on that other end. But our big lineup has turned into something pretty good. And so I think we're just going to do what we do and try to see if they can adapt to us. I don't want to change what we do. I want them to try to change what they do.
Is there a consideration for a lineup change in a game like this? Okay.
No.
Because, again, we've seen Brock and Egan Shields play together a lot, but that's not a thought process.
No, we just want to do what we do. And obviously we're playing well and saying, hey, look, this is how we're going to go. And you know, the game will dictate how we rotate the lineups and the roster around. But we're going to start the way we start and go with it.
I'm pumped. Okay, so South Dakota, are they like deep? Because when I hear press, when I hear like they're going to press all the time, they got to be pretty deep.
They have, you know, talking to Portland State's head coach yesterday in the airport, it's funny, half the big sky was at DIA. I didn't see anybody. And I was so tired, I was trying to get to the baggage claim, get out with the team. But we were going to exchange some notes because Portland State actually plays Omaha as well. So we're playing the same two teams, which is not normal. So Coach Coburn wanted to pick my brain on Omaha, and I want to pick his brain on South Dakota. And he's like, hey, the first thing I'll tell you is this, because I hadn't watched the game. He goes, they will sub like four dudes in at once. And not a big deal, but kind of a big deal because, you know, your guys are looking at you like, well, who do I got? Who do I got? You know what I mean? Like, it happens quick. And so, and Coach Reed is like our matchup guy. You see him, he's got the board, and he's working with the scout coach who is Coach Green on this game. So DG and Reed will be quickly, hey, pop, 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 because DG knows who he wants, you know, us to guard. But Reed's the one that also helps, you know, kind of get that in on the board. And he's like, just be aware, they're going to sub three, four, five guys in at a time. And you have to be quick on that so you don't make any mental mistakes, because that, coupled with how fast they play,
sure, yeah,
it can get a little chaotic. I love the chaos, but no, I mean, they do have depth, but clearly their best players are their best players. And we want to get to that bench. We want to drag into that bench, and we've got to make sure that we play depth. I should have played Arik maybe a little more, in this game. Guys like Tanner Burkita, Will Humer, they got to be ready to go. You know, Chance White, like, they got to be ready to go because it's going to be a chaotic game. And again, knowing like this is a Wednesday, Saturday game, I can really push guys like Quinn, Zach, and Brock with, you know, 3 days between games. But as we get closer to this Big Sky Thursday, Saturday, the bench is going to be completely important. So we got to keep developing the bench and doing a good job with that.
Well, this one should be fun. Again, South Dakota, 6 o'clock. Get out to the game, but if by chance you're not going to the game, this will also be available on ESPN
Plus. It's on the Plus. But yeah, get out to the game. Hey, shout out Free Toy Drive, local community, Rodarte Center.
Nice.
Okay, so the deal is this. If you don't have a ticket, bring a toy. You get them for free.
Nice.
And all these toys, obviously, you know, it's the giving season and Christmas and all that. And all the toys will be donated to the Rodarte Center. And so, hey, there's no excuse. I don't have a ticket. Hey, just bring a toy. You know, get over to one of your local providers, bring a toy to the deal. And we did the canned food drive from Allo for Thanksgiving, for Fansgiving. That went really well. A lot of canned food. And that's the stuff that, you know, it's about winning and losing, but it's about helping people out too. And, you know, being a driving, you know, change force in our community. And I thought that was great. So let's help a bunch of young kids out and let's bring some toys out there.
I love that too. Great cause and an awesome opportunity to come out and watch some great basketball. Like you said, this should be a really entertaining basketball game.
Absolutely. So let's do it.
Speaking of Allo, that's what's going on out there. The station here is hooking up with Allo today, apparently. So they're
nice.
That's what all the traffic going on out there just insanity. Coach, you're looking at how close do you pay attention to the rest of the Big Sky at this stage? You have four non-conference games left.
I do. I pay attention to it day one. People say they don't look at the scores. They're all lying.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We all have the ESPN app. You can just click on, you know,
how'd they do the other night?
Top 25 go to Big Sky, and like, I'm a fan too, and obviously I'm taking mental notes. I'm not like studying their games, but I am paying attention. I'm excited. Our league went 6-3 against the Summit League, and it's like, wow, the score is 12-10 because they factor in the men and the women. I don't know how the women's side went, but I know we went 6-3, and there is a public perception in our leagues that the Summit League should be a higher level league, and I'm proud of our league. I think our league's really good. I think people are going to see, geez, every Niner league is going to be a grinder. But 6-3, you know, what a great start to the challenge. It is a cool challenge because we all play on the same night, and it's kind of common opponents, and then we flip it on Saturday. I think it's kind of cool.
And the way this is structured, correct me here, the way this is structured, too, it's the rankings from both sides last year are going up against each other, kind of,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's why we played Omaha, you know, obviously league champ, and then South Dakota, I think they won 20 games last year. I don't love not controlling my schedule, especially in non-money games. Hey, if we got to go play Texas Tech, we got to go play Texas Tech. Yeah, I get it. Go pay some bills. But I don't like losing control of who we play because we have so many hard games anyways. But I get it. But yeah, they kind of structured that way. It's like North Coast State played Montana and, you know, St. Thomas played Montana State. And like, so yeah, it kind of goes, you know, based off of that and some projections in this year. But that's kind of how they do it.
This whole thing is fun. And we'll see how it goes with South Dakota. Then after that one, you guys get a little bit of a break, so
finals
I'm guessing
week.
A pretty intense. How will the practice schedule look like? Will it be an intense schedule? Or
yes and no. I mean, you know, guys got locked in and finished this semester out. We traveled a ton, all these road games, so I do worry about the academics. We have really good students, but during finals week, we will completely take off Tuesday and Friday. So 2 of the 5 days, nothing. So, you know, get through the game. We'll have a Monday, you know, kind of recap practice. Then we'll go like Wednesday, Thursday, which has nothing to do with Texas Tech. And then it gives us Saturday, Sunday, Monday to prepare for Texas Tech before we play them on a Tuesday. So we got 10 days off and in terms of between games. So, yeah, we'll be very I'm excited to get back to practice too. Like, there's things we got to fix, and there's no time to fix it right now because it's the next game. But we finally get a chance to kind of focus back in on us, and that'll be good during finals week, and it'll be good for the guys too.
Will you and Jeff Linder have many conversations here in the next week?
Yeah, we always do. You know, we talk all the time, anyways, and pick his brain, that'll be a challenge of a game, obviously. But mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'll talk to him a ton for sure.
How do you view a game like that? Because, I mean, you are 8-1. You have big goals. You look at a team like that, they're ranked, they're really freaking good.
Yeah.
The mindset's like, hey, we're going to go do something, well, you know, do something sell, to rock I, something up here.
How you sell that one is to your guys and, okay, let's one of my phrases, begin with the end in mind. We've been doing that all year. You know, Portland, 3 games in 3 days, begin with the end in mind. You have to win 3 games in a row, right? So now it's like for Texas Tech, begin with, okay, we're clearly a pretty good team. So let's just say we get lucky enough to win the Big Sky tournament, finally get to March Madness.
Yeah.
That's who you're going to play. Because we, I don't know, as of today, we'd be a 13, 14, 15 seed. That team could be a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, that's a team you're going to have to beat to be the first team, you know, in the Big Sky in however many years, 15, 20 years, to actually win a game in the tournament. That's a team you got to beat. So let's go find a way to beat them. And at least you get your guys kind of, okay, that's a good point, coach. Like, yeah, you're playing a ranked team. What a perfect opportunity, you know. And so I think that you kind of sell it that way. And then DU. Critical game.
Yep.
They're good, man.
Yep,
they won at CSU.
Yep.
They won at Montana State, who clearly is a very, very good team. They're good. So, you know, now you got DU.
That's this stretch, honestly, the rest of this non-con.
Oh, it's great.
South Dakota, which we just talked about. Texas Tech, which we just talked about. DU, we know what they can do. And then you have an undefeated Buffs team, at least right now.
Yeah.
Those are your 4 non-conference games. You're going to learn a heck of a lot about this Bears team
and that's
by
what
the
we
time
need.
We get
that's
done with that.
That's what we need going into the Big Sky. And so we're excited. So it's just one at a time. But the South Dakota game, starting with that, it's a big game for us.
Man, I'm excited about this. And like we said, potentially, and maybe we'll get some more information on it, but this could be, if you guys can get this dub on Saturday, the best start the UNC Bears have ever had.
Yeah, just, you know, focus on the practice today and focus on the preparation and cutting the film, getting ready to go. And when you dive into the process and you lose yourself in the process, then, you know, you let the result, you know, kind of be what it is. But we are definitely excited.
All right, my friend. All right. Good luck to you.
Yep. Thanks, Brady.
Some big basketball games coming up, man. Coach Steve Smiley, always fun to do this podcast with you, man.
As always, go Bears.
And we win a little football today to start,
I
but
like that.
Sometimes we got to go there.
Got to do it.
All right, the two-man game podcast, thanks to our friends Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks, the man.
Hicksie, thanks, baby.
He'll probably be at the game sometime.
I hope so.
I'm sure he will be. All right, two-man game podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 1310kfk.com, or wherever you get your podcast. Coach, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!